set apart from eternity. Chose them. Christ came and redeemed them, and the Spirit of God draws them. So why is this important? The rock of dividing. Well, the first thing, as we've seen already, that as pertains to God's sovereignty and providence. Here in this portion of Scripture, we have a reminder that nothing can touch one of the Lord's own but what He ordains. Now, if you believe like you've already learned that lesson, when was the last time you fretted? Just think back through this day, circumstances, something came up, and all of a sudden we're acting just like unbelievers. In a panic, our mind's going here, going there, oh no. And yet, the Scripture says there's nothing, like we say, nothing moves or harms us. That's why I changed that. So we trust in Him. What is it, trust in Him? It's to remain right there where God has put you and see His hand in it. That's what David did. God put him in that mountain and separated him out from Saul, and there he stayed. In fact, it says there in verse 29, David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at Engedi. There were so many strongholds in this area where the Lord had put David. It was in a wilderness, and yet Engedi actually means a fountain of kids. There were mountain goats, gazelles, hinds that lived in these mountains, and there were streams of water. I've seen some pictures of it. It's a beautiful place that flowed out of the rocks where David was. And that's where God put David. Again, a picture of what it is to be hidden in Christ. This is talking about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished. If He died, that means that everyone for whom He died paid the debt. They are now dead to sins. In other words, to the curse of it, to the penalty of it. Doesn't mean we're not sinners, but there's no condemnation. Once the law has been executed on someone, there's nothing more that the law can do. They're dead. And when Christ died, that's it. Sin was put away. But it says there that we, being dead to sins, that's our sin put to Christ's account, should live unto righteousness. In other words, that righteousness that was imputed there at the cross once for all is the righteousness now in which those for whom Christ paid the debt live. And it says, by whose stripes you were healed. There's only one way of being healed of sin, and that is what took place at the cross. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. In other words, being raised from the grave, Christ now is calling unto Himself everyone as the great shepherd, the bishop of our souls, calling everyone unto Himself.
Some people kind of shrug their shoulders and say, well, with all these different voices and views, what do you do? What are we to do? Some are going to say, oh, well, to each his own. I know that's, to some, that's the easy route. Let's just not debate and argue over doctrine or over things pertaining to the gospel. Let's be tolerant in all matters. Well, that's not what the Scriptures teach us. It does say, even as we read in Ephesians chapter 4 here, we're to speak the truth in love. There's no question. I don't mean to say that we're just supposed to beat each other over the head with it, but there is the truth that pertains to Christ that we're to deal with as it is revealed here in the Word. It shows discernment. On the other hand, there are some that just kind of throw up their arms in despair and say, I've been all through that, and they get discouraged and do nothing. They spend their time in despair. That certainly is not the right response. But here in Philippians chapter 4, I believe, is the encouragement that we need. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Notice it's stand fast in the Lord. How often we've been caught standing fast, maybe in tradition, or standing fast in what we have been taught. And it's hard to let go. It's impossible in ourselves. It's the Lord that has to take away every false way. But nonetheless, here Paul says, stand fast in the Lord. And I want you to see the tenderness with which Paul says it here in verse 1. This appeal to the brethren in Philippi for whom he's burdened. He starts off, therefore, my brethren. Therefore, my brethren. See, this is an appeal in mercy, isn't it?